Shall we read together from the Gospel by St. Luke, chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. How shall we read in the Gospel by St. John, chapter 15? Verse 8, Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Of the 13th chapter of this same Gospel, verse 34, A new commandment I give you unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The Gospel by St. Matthew, chapter 10. Verse 39. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily, I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Our final passage in the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 10. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, or the calling on high of God in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading of His own most holy and precious word. I read to you in the first passage, St. Luke chapter 14, the Christ of discipleship. Then we read in the Gospel of St. John chapter 13, the purpose of discipleship. We read in the 13th chapter of St. John in verse 35, the proof of discipleship. And then in the final passage in Matthew chapter 10, we read about the prize of discipleship. Now it doesn't cost anything to be a Christian. That we always make crystal clear when we go forth with the word of salvation to the perishing. We stress, rightly so, salvation without money, without Christ, without merit. Salvation is God's free gift to all who trust His precious Son. The moment I, by faith, put my trust in that one who died upon the cross for me, and say in the language of the poet, when to my all I ventured on the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and I was born of God. It's very interesting, however, in this Gospel by St. Luke chapter 14, that when we have a statement of the Gospel Supper and the invitation, come, for all things are now ready, and then it pleased God to bring before us the hindrances, those things that keep men and women from trusting His blessed Son, for taking the free gift that God offers, life everlasting, for a look at the crucified one, there are hindrances. And those hindrances may be summed up, something to see, something to do, something to enjoy. These are the things in the realm of nature that keep men and women from coming wholeheartedly to the Son of God, bowing at His feet and paying allegiance to that worthy one. Any man, any woman, hearing the sweet strains of the Gospel, should bow at His feet and adore that precious one who so dearly purchased salvation and offers it to all, and men are so in need of that great salvation. But alas, the enemy appears and seeks to hinder God in His purposes in reaching lost souls. And I'm sure some of you, and maybe many of you, have noticed in that parable of the supper that precedes what I want to stress this morning, presently, it says they all began not with one consent, for I'm sure that is not the force of the passage at all. It simply says they all began with one to make consent. And so there is one who has, from the very fountainhead of humanity, has stood opposed to God and opposed to man that would hinder him in his purposes if it were at all possible. And so it's that one, the arch enemy of man's and of God, that would seek to stand in the way. Now when we come to the passage I read in this 25th verse of this same portion, we read, "There went out great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother, his wife, his children, his brethren and sisters, yea, his own life, he cannot be my disciple." My, I thank God it doesn't say he cannot be my child. Aren't you? If it said that this morning, my case would be a hopeless one. But it says, if any man, or if any, come to me and hate not his father and mother, his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. I wonder if we're willing to pay that price. What has it cost us? What is it costing us today to be true disciples of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ? Does he have the chief place? Does he have the first place in my life? In my business life? In my home life? Or in whatever circle we may consider this morning? I wonder if my blessed Lord has the first place. Is it Jesus first? My one aim, my one ambition, to please that blessed one who pleased not himself. Would I allow anything to stand in the way this morning that would hinder me from being a true disciple of the Lord Jesus? And we were reminded already, first meeting of this conference, of the many hindering influences to blessing. And that these hindrances are invariably on the part of his own. We stand in the way of our own blessing. And I can say this morning to any child of God here, who has long been on the way, that your greatest enemy to spiritual progress, your greatest enemy to your pleasing God every step of the journey, is you yourself. I think it was Mr. Mace who once said that I myself am worse than anything I have ever done. And so I have had with me, from the very night of my conversion, it happened to be night, oh happy night when Jesus washed my black sins white, from that moment until this very day, I have been conscious of the presence of one who has sought to hinder me from being all out for my blessed Lord. Oh, what I might be for him today. If he had the chief place, if he had the first place in my life. And so I can appeal this morning to those who are young in Christ, to you who may have been saved only a matter of weeks or a matter of months, if you haven't been very long on the journey, see to it that he, that worthy one, gets the chief place, that he gets the first place. Don't count the cost. You see, all earth's glory is like the grass of the field. It soon passes and gone. But that man or that woman, that boy or girl, who does the will of God. He's going to enjoy the fruits of that forever and forever. I met a man who has climbed up high in world affairs. He invited me into his office, into his private room, and then he unbosomed himself to me. He said, you know, I've made real progress. He said, I presume in that respect I could well be proud of myself. But I'm glad to be able to tell you this morning that I don't attach very much importance to it. He isn't exactly an old man. He said, I can really say this morning, as under the eye of him who now sees me and hears me, I can say that the only thing that really counts is a life that lived for God. And so he said, I seek earnestly to give him a place, to give him a portion of my day, to give him the place in my heart that he so richly deserves and so rightly deserves. I make it my business day after day to begin with God. I have the motto on my wall, and I trust he said deeper than that in my very heart, Jesus first and Jesus only. God help us to be willing to count the cost. Now, I take it that these are legitimate claims. You can easily see that. Father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and his own life and so on. Except, he says, a man hates these, he cannot be my disciple. Now, surely it isn't necessary for me this morning to say to the young Christians or otherwise that you owe respect to your father. Children, obey your father in the Lord. We owe them respect, and we must pay deference to those that are advanced in years. This is the young man's world. We're all conscious of that, aren't we? But we must have respect for the hoary head, and surely we do, if it's found in the ways of peace going on for God. Surely we have respect for such an one or such one. But this says, if a man come to me, hate not his father and mother and wife and children. No, it does not say, and his own life, it does not say he may not be my disciple. It simply says he cannot. And it's one of the strongest words in the English language. He cannot. He cannot be my disciple. And so let's get first things first. And he gives them the place that the Word of God gives them, and seek to recognize them as he sets them forth. And in true humble obedience to himself, he could seek to go on as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we be willing today to pay the price. Now turn with me, please, to the Gospel by St. John. St. John chapter 13. Chapter 15. In this passage we get the purpose of discipleship, verse 8, given to us in simple words, in few words. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So I like to put the first text, so to speak, square up to it under the light of God's precious word and test myself thereby. Could I qualify? Am I a disciple? And that I'd turn my back upon everything for his sake and even upon myself. And then when I look at this simple yet this precious, precious verse, this is what God desires. This would glorify him. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. so shall ye be my disciples. I wonder if we're his disciples in this respect. What about my life? Godward. Is there fruit in my life for him? That's what he's longing for. Yes, it would bring glory and honor to him. You know, on one occasion when our blessed Lord Jesus Christ was here upon earth, as he looked to that nation who had been so highly favored of the Lord, every possible overture had been given them with a view to bring out of their lives that would bring glory and honor to God, fruit to the praise of that blessed one. And so one day he had to say, as he looked upon that tree, which I have no doubt symbolized that nation, nothing but leaves, a fruitless life, a fruitless life. And I don't want my life to be fruitless to you. I'd like to have a little fruit in my life for God. Wonderful that he would look toward me in that respect, isn't it? Wonderful that he should be glorified and seen some fruit born in my life to him, and then the pledge and the promise that I would be his disciple. Now we must hasten on. I want you to read with me now in chapter 13, where we get a real test once more. Real test is under the eye of our blessed Lord. Chapter 13 and verse 34, we get the new commandment. I certainly don't need to tell anybody here today that the believer is free from the law. We sing it, free from the law, oh happy condition. Jesus has died and now there's remission. We're no longer under the Mosaic law. But it is true that the righteousness of that law is fulfilled not by us, but in us. It's being fulfilled in the believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. But here is a new commandment now. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And then here's the measure. As I have loved you. Oh, when I put up the test this morning, and I seek to measure myself thereby, I think first of his love. I think of that love that led him to leave the Father's throne above. For we read of him that he was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. And that one whose delight was with God the Father came into this world of sin and woe, and he still could say, I delight to do thy will, O my God. He fulfilled the will of God his Father, even though it meant to go all the way to Calvary. And there the highest possible expression of the love of God is told out. The love that many waters could not quench. That love that was strong as death. Was told out at Calvary in the Son of the Eternal God. And I tell you, I'm glad and I'm happy this morning too that his love didn't end there. For you remember when he took his own, you see, he has his own in chapter 1, came to his own, that is his own thing, and his own people received him not. They wouldn't have him. But there were some whose hearts were won to that blessed Savior. They could say, we love because he first loved us. Well, he gathered that company in the upper room, and it opens up just like this. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them everlastingly. Yes, thank God, his love is real, his love is true to me this morning. And ever shall be, long as he leaves me here in this world, and even when I get yonder in the glory, I'll still be in the sunshine of that love that has no parallel, infinite, boundless, limitless love I'll enjoy it forever and forever. I'm sure I need not tell you that any other love passes and goes. It ends sometime or other, but his love knows no bounds and can never end. Now that's the measure. And so he says in this verse, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another, not merely tolerate one another, but love one another. My, some of us who have been saved for years, we can look back and we do remember when there was a warmth, a real genuine love amongst Christians. Why go way back, way, way back, even to the days of St. Augustine. And you read something like this, if you read those ancient writings, behold how they loved each other. And so when we get saved by the grace of God, we're brought into the realm of His love, and that love is to radiate from us, that love is to be shown to fellow saints. And God grants that we may be kept from, in any sense, throwing up a barrier here or hindering the outflow of that love. Now look at verse 35. This is the proof of discipleship in this respect. By this shall all know that ye are my disciples. How are they going to know it? Yes, there are some visible evidences of that love that has reached our hearts. And it's to be seen, the proof of it is, by our love to one another. God keep us from growing cold in this respect. But that our heart, that our love might be fervent, that it might be at the boiling point when Jesus comes. Now look at the Gospel by St. Matthew, chapter 10. And we're going to see now some of the compensations, because after all, there are compensations, or there's a prize at the end of the journey. For brevity's sake, let's look at verse 42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple. Now here's the promise side. It shall in no wise lose, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Now it is true, blessedly true, that the Lord Jesus Christ saves me for nothing. And once he has saved me by his grace, he promises a prize for everything I do to his honor and to his eternal praise and glory. My, how encouraging that ought to be to us today. Think of lonely hearts. Think of some who are on beds of affliction. And some of the sisters could do this. You could visit them in their lonely rooms, many of God's dear people bedridden. You could carry a little blessing to them. But I venture to say, if you did, you'd receive a blessing to your soul in return. I visited an aged saint 2 nights ago. At 5 o'clock in the evening, I went to read a little passage from the Word of God and to not only read from God's precious Word, but to minister practical things in another way. My heart was light, free as I made my tracks in that direction to meet this dear saint of God. But listen, I can tell you that I was a greater beneficiary. I received a blessing that evening that I shall never forget. Just a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple. protects and promises. It cannot lose its reward. So the Apostle Paul, in the third chapter of the Epistle to the Philippians, who looked beyond this fading scene, this scene of sin and sorrow and disappointment, yet his eye fixed upon one yonder in the glory. And he could say that I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Wonder if any of us here today could say that. Wonder if our feet may not be heavy and we find the things of sense and time spreading their charm, hindering us our homeward journey. God, stir our hearts this day, during these days of conference, that we might have our eye upon the blessed man yonder in the glory, coming. And at the end of the day, may we be found walking in the ways that will bring honor and glory to his precious name.